Wow, what a treat this is. I get to hang out with Newcastle's most respected lady gardener, Judy Sharp. Hello, welcome.
Hello, Mark. I think the treat's all mine.
Well, the treat will be you helping out some of our Hunter listeners with their gardening issues. You also have a list of topics in case we need to get through them, and there's some good stuff around frost at the moment, also deciduous trees, so you're going to have us covered today.
Yeah, and, you know, you're going to help me out. I know you always do, Mark.
All right, we'll see how Judy stitches me up, but she'll also be answering your garden questions to NURFM. Our gardening expert, Judy Sharp, is here, and we're heading to Salamander Bay. Leslie, you've got an issue for Judy this afternoon. What's going on, Leslie?
I certainly do. Good morning or afternoon to both of you. It's
Thank
a very
you.
Quick one, Judy.
Oh, I know you're going to ask me a question. I think you've asked me before, Leslie.
Oh, I don't think so.
All right, okay.
I have asked you a question before, yes. But this one, not on this particular subject.
Right, okay. Well, fire away and see if I can give you the answer.
Okay. I had a really nice sort of undercover collection in pots of the clivias, of the oranges and the yellow.
Right.
And these beautiful grubs that we won't mention the name of in real terms, but they ate absolutely everything. But I cannot part with the pot that the yellow one was in. Is there any chance or is there any point in keeping the roots of the yellow one?
Yes, I think that will shoot again because I had the same problem with the yellow one. Probably you heard me talking about that before,
yes,
I would imagine.
Did.
And look, the grubs on the back, they made your skin crawl, didn't they?
Oh,
I've never seen. And, you know, clivia, those grubs only get on clivias. They
yes,
are called the clivia grub, yeah. So,
yeah.
Oh, whatever we call them, grubs. Oh, I think they're grubs, nasty
and
little devils.
And there's so many of them.
And they hang on one another and they crawl up your skin and, they're really awful. You know, Mark's over here and he's not believing it, but that's the truth, Mark.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Oh, you've got
I just don't like what I'm hearing, ladies.
Okay,
no,
so, you know, Leslie.
Everything.
They are. But you know what my cure is? Just the pyrethrum.
Yes, eventually.
Did you beat them with that? Did you? Oh, good.
Yeah, far too late.
Right.
They'd eaten sort of, you know, 9/10 of them by the time I got round to doing it. So.
Yeah, just keep your eye out now. If you've still got some leaves left, I check mine every day.
Yeah.
They come so quickly. Okay.
The yellow one is so precious. It was so beautiful.
And they're so expensive as well.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Look, I think you'll find if you repot that, is it in the ground or in a pot?
No, it's in a fairly big to medium sized pot.
Yeah. Look, I'd just start to give it a little bit of fertilizer, and you've got the roots there with the bulby stuff on it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Look, I'll keep everything crossed for you, Leslie, but I think if you start to apply a little bit of fertilizer now, maybe. Flourish for flowering would be a good one. And let's see if that kicks them in again. And if not, we'll talk later. Ring me next time and let me know what's happened because I can solve these problems, Leslie.
I know. Look, you can solve everything, Judy. I have faith.
Thank you.
All right. Best of luck there, Leslie. Good afternoon, Peter at Beresfield. You have a herbicide question for Judy today. What's your story, Peter?
Hello, Peter.
G'day, how are you? I have a question. You were talking about winter grass killing last week.
Yes.
And I went out and got some winter grass killer. Now, I have buffalo grass. I want to keep it.
Right.
And the instruction says selective winter grass controlled in blue couch, common couch, bent, and buffalo and brown top lawns. Now, will this... Angrow winter grass killer, will that kill the buffalo?
Well, it doesn't say that on the packet, does it? It says can be used on buffalo by what you're saying.
Yeah, that's why I was getting a bit confused.
Right, okay. Well, why are you concerned if it says you can use it?
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, that's what
look,
I thought.
But look, don't be too heavy with it. You know what buffalo's like. Why don't you, Peter, experiment on a little patch first?
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking of doing.
Yeah.
But you come up and I thought I'd better ask first.
No, you've done a very wise thing. But look, whichever the product, whichever brand, as long as it says safe to use on dirt, you're right.
Yeah.
But I'd still do a test first because buffalo gets very unhappy easy, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Good luck with it, Peter. Don't go out there doing crazy things with you.
No, I won't.
Okay, thank you, Peter, for the call.
All right, best of luck. And Judy, not a bad idea. I mean, if you even if you just got a little bit of concern in the back of your mind, just do a little patch for test first.
Yeah, do a little patch,
yeah. And then if it obviously, pending that it says it's okay on the packaging, of course.
Yeah, but, you know, there's so many different brands out there, you know, that you could be guessing unless you check that packet carefully.
Absolutely. Good times, great music, and gardening talkback. Right now, Paul from Chisholm, you have a question about the shelf life of garden chemicals. What are we talking about, Paul?
Yeah, so yesterday, Maitland Council, we're part of that local government area, had a chemical clean-out, which is great. And so we took chemicals or can take chemicals to a particular depot. Now, my dear wife went through my garden shed and did a bit of a clean out.
Oh, I'm sorry, Paul. I could sense what was coming then. I had to laugh a little bit.
Let me guess, anything that had any dust on it went.
So, Paul, mean you're going to buy everything new again, are you?
Well, I don't know. But anyway, yes, probably. Yeah. Probably not all at once because there's a fair few bobs were thrown out. But look, I noticed that all of the packaging did have a date of manufacture. But unlike buying a carton of milk where you have a best before date, none of them had a used by or best before date.
Right.
I will admit that some didn't go back to last century, but I think the oldest one was sort of dated 2018. But there was a range of stuff, and without being product specific, I'll give you a quick snapshot of what I had.
Yeah, please do.
Carbaryl, Eco Oil, Malathon, Manka Zeb, what else? Success. That sort of gives you an understanding of what there was.
Okay, Paul, did she throw them all out?
Yes.
Oh, no. Look, you would have had probably 2 years shelf life.
Right, okay.
So they're gone?
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, you could always, why don't you even see if there's a new lady out there that's got a lot of chemicals in a shed? No, not good advice, Paul. Mark's shaking his head at me, thinking, what am I suggesting here?
You have Paul in the divorce courts over some stuff in the shed. Look, let's meet in the centre. Paul, it's a trip off to the hardware stores and the gardening centres over the weekend, and you, rightly so, can restock the shelves.
Yes, I'll use her plastic and actually a browse through the hardware store is probably quite therapeutic.
So. I'll still have your name on. You use her plastic all you like, but it comes out the same place.
Thanks, Judy.
Okay, Paul, look, thank you for the call. I'm sorry I was a bit blasé about it, but, you know, I can imagine if anyone did that to my garage, I'd be hopeless.
Best of luck with everything, Paul, and your lady at home as well. Good afternoon, Brad at Kitchener. What's happening with you this afternoon?
Hello, Brad.
Hi, guys. I love your show. I listen to your show because my mum's left me with a massive garden. She's in a nursing home. And her garden is magnificent on a couple of acres. Now, we're talking about clivias, and I've never seen a grub, but what happened was Mum had clivias everywhere in front of the window and the front window, and the area was really damp, but it didn't stop the clivias from growing, but we just wanted some drier, you know, earth in front of the window because it was so moist there and with the cold weather and what have you. Now, you know, like she's got pots that have 10 in each one. I would have removed at least 50 from the front garden there, and I've got them down the back, and I really don't know what to do with them. Should I put them in, separate and put them in single pots? And if I do that, should I put them in the sun or in shade area? I just don't know.
Okay, Brad, they'll take morning sun and shade, but not afternoon sun.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, you really need to pick the spot, and you could put one plant in a pot, and that will multiply, of course, and, you know, then you might be able to give them to your friends and your neighbours. But I think that solves the problem for you, Brad. I'm pretty sure.
I know Mum paid actually a lot of money for individual plants.
Oh, yes.
Plants.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Particularly if you've got the yellows, or are they all orange?
We have yellow. We've got yellow, orange. Yeah. And what's the other one's a little somewhat white a bit.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, and, I haven't got that one, but I've got the yellow, and that's
why.
You're
quite welcome if you want any.
Oh, thank you.
I'm telling you, I took out like 4 wheelbarrows full, and I've sat them down the back, and I'm being lazy and not understanding what to do. I don't want Mum's garden to go to shit, and yeah, I appreciate what you're saying. So,
okay, so you.
What about the summer? Is it going to be a problem?
Yes. Oh no, not in full sun in the summer. No, just a little bit of morning sun only.
Well, they went so well in the out the front in the full shade all.
Yeah,
all
because
winter.
That's all right. Shade's all right, but not the full sun. So we're doing morning sun and shade. Yep. That's exactly where mine are. I've got some lovely yellows in a pot in the morning sun, but the rest are on the other side of the drive in complete shade.
Right.
Okay, so lucky you rang.
Well, if I get myself 100 pots, what just any type of soil?
Oh, yes. Look, you know, buy a reasonable potting mix if you're going to grow them in pots.
Right.
Okie dokie.
All right, best of luck with it.
Thank you very much, Judy. I love your show, and I listen because my mum was mad in the garden, and I'm trying to keep up a little.
Oh, well, that's lovely, Brad, and I hope you take photos to show her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good idea.
I take down my father visits her every day, but I go and see her once a week, and I do take cuttings out of the garden all the time.
Oh, good on you. That's wonderful.
It was her life.
Yeah.
It was her life. She loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, best of luck with everything with the garden, Brad, and also your mum in the retirement community as well. So best of luck to you both there. Good afternoon, Jan at Morissette. Your plants are being eaten up. What can Judy do for you?
Come out there and spray them, Jan, I think.
Well, I've sprayed them with pyrethrin spray, but it doesn't seem to do any good.
Oh, so Jan,
can't see anything on them, but they keep getting little holes in or something chewing on the side of them, and it's in just different plants. It's on geraniums and other plants I've got in, and yeah.
Okay, Jan, look, I think what you've got are grasshoppers or little devils. You'll see them in all different sizes. And that's why you're getting little holes from the little fillers. And when you're getting the big bites on the end of the leaves, that's the big ones. Because my grandson visited yesterday, actually, to do a little bit of work on his car. And he came inside and I was really impressed. He ran up the stairs and said, "Nan, what have you got to spray grasshoppers with?" I said, "Tom, what grasshoppers?" He said, "They're all over your garden." I said, "No, no, that's true, Mark.
I believe you, yeah.
That's Scott's son. Yeah. So he must have a little bit of us in him, mate."
Well, you would think, you know, third generation, he's not going to escape.
Probably not, no. So, Jan, you know, I think that you need to go something stronger. I told him just to spray with the pyrethrum, but, you know, you might find something a little bit stronger if you're not beating them. Because they are devils, yeah. Unless you want to.
You don't see anything.
No, you don't see them unless you sit out there with a big magnifying glass. They're devils, yeah. But, you know, so what you need, don't worry about spraying with pyrethrum. Just do that fairly regularly. And so when they eat, they're going to die.
Oh, righto.
Is that a good idea?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Okay, Jan, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Good times, great music at 2 and URFM 103.7. Also, Gardening Talk Back, you have a few minutes left if you have a garden question for Judy Sharp, who I might say is looking nice and bright today with a most colourful jumper I've seen anyone wear in a long time, Jude.
Oh, stand out, is it?
It does stand out.
Stand out. Yes. Well, you know the beauty of it. You only wear it for a short time in winter, because look how thick it is.
I know. It's very thick at the moment. There's the jumper. Because the weather is cool, and we're noticing those cold, frosty starts of the morning. We've had to throw a bucket of water on the car windshield a couple of times. And our plants, Judy, they also feel the cold as well, don't they?
They surely do, Mark, particularly new ones. So you have to be very careful if you live in frost areas. And even where I live, I'm getting very heavy dews. Mm. So they would be particularly affecting my garden too.
All right. So if we've got some newer plants, they're not new sort plants. Of seasoned yet.
No.
What are some of the best things we can do to protect them from those chilly starts? They can't wear that jumper like you are.
Look, the best thing you can do is get some, you ready? Stress Guard or Envy. And so you can spray them.
Is this kind of like a protective coating almost?
It is a protective coating, yeah. But, you know, if you're thinking about tonight and you can't get down to the nursery to get some, well, there is another solution, you know. You need to hose the plants off before the sun comes up.
Ah, which in a way kind of sounds a little bit, what? You want to throw cold water on a cold start to the day, but that protects how?
Well, the sun burns the frost in.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And when we did have the nursery up at Rutherford, we were very prone to the frost, and we had our sprinkler system turned on so that they got watered before the sun came up.
Just as the frost, Jack Frost is coming in, you're kind of scaring him away with the water.
Yeah,
definitely in the Hunter. I mean, we're seeing it on the coast too, but certainly in those areas of the Hunter, I mean, very frosty starts of the day.
For sure, yeah.
All right, so there's a couple of tips for the frosty days, which there are still a few ahead. You want to talk about deciduous trees and pruning some of those, Judy?
Yes, certainly, if I can. Okay.
You can. These are your topics. You can talk about them.
Well, you know, I thought you might like to answer some of them.
Yeah, it'd be a very quick conversation.
Okay, so it's time to begin pruning deciduous trees and shrubs. This applies to any trees and shrubs that flower new spring growth. You know, you'll check your garden out when you get home, Mark.
I will.
And make sure you haven't got any of those. So that's the secret with pruning deciduous trees now, because they're going to get something like, how about an example for our listeners?
Please do.
Okay, hydrangeas.
Okay.
Now, they're going to flower in spring. So if you want to prune them, you need to do it now.
All right, you just got to get around this thing and get on top of it ahead of time.
Yep, ahead of time.
So when you are FM 103.7 Gardening Talk, back continuing with Judy Sharp and her woolen jumper, and now also with you, Margaret from East Maitland. Margaret, you have a question about potted hydrangeas. What's the story?
Hello, Margaret.
Hi. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And have you got a problem with them or?
Yeah, well, what's happened is we've just sold our house, and I took my mother's hydrangeas and repotted them, and I've got them in my daughter's place, and they're just still alive and doing fine, but they've got like brown spots on the leaves and stuff like that.
Right.
So I was just wondering what I can do when we move into the house that we're going to, what I can do to put them back into the ground to make them healthy and big again.
Okay. Margaret, so how long before the move?
About, say, 6 months.
All right, okay. So, okay, we need to do some work on them then in the pots, don't we, in the meantime?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So did you use a good potting mix?
Yes, we did, yeah.
Excellent, okay. Now, that brown spotting is probably just the cold of winter. So, you know, it is time now to start pruning them. And you will see I'm hoping that you've got double eyes.
Yes, I have got some, yeah.
Double shoots opposite one another. They're the double. Yep. Well, that's where you prune back to, Margaret, just above those double shoots.
Okay, then.
And I'd be inclined to be doing that now. And, you know, just keep the water up to them after that if we don't get any rain. But, of course, Mark keeps saying more rain on the way, which, you know, I don't like to hear, but, you know, I don't know what to do with him. I've got to work with him, you know, and he tells you stuff like that all the time.
This is what it is, Judy.
Yeah, that's right.
So, okay, Margaret, after you prune, you know, it won't hurt you to do a little bit of fertilising with a little bit of flourish or something to stimulate them.
Flourish.
You've just repotted them, so let's do that. And also, after you do
they've been potted. They have been potted for about 6 months already.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Well, we're going to do the pruning. That's the most important thing now. And
then just put some flourish or something on it.
It won't hurt them at all. But, you know, we aren't very far off spring. I hope I can say that. Well, really,
we'll fast forward the next couple of months.
Well, when you get into August, I think, you know, something like a hydrangea, it's going to be looking to flower for you, Margaret. So let's get to work. Let's get to work, dear.
Yes, we'll have to. My mum's flowers were like cauliflowers.
They were huge.
They're really old, but we'll get them back, we hope.
Yeah, and, you know, when you do plant them in this lovely new garden you're having, make sure you plant them not in the full sun. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
Good, good. Excellent. Yeah. You're all accounted for. Margaret, thank you for the call and good luck with it.
All right, best of luck for you, Margaret. Judy, what's this you're trying to just wish all of winter away? How you wanted to be spring already? In your thoughts, you're using the technique of positive visualisation. I love it.
Well, Mark, you're too young to remember Matara.
Absolutely. No, I remember. No, I do remember Matara. It was a huge, huge thing.
It was, in Civic Park. And I used to make these little shifts that were kind of very short for their day.
Right.
And you didn't wear any cardigan because it was warm enough. Now, when was Matara held? August.
August, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So I always think August and we're on the turn.
Gardening Talk Back. We're on the wind-up now with Judy Sharp and Marge at Valentine. You're keeping with the theme, those nasty grubs are back at your place.
Yes, hello, Marge.
Look, I have sprayed them, Judy. Last year I had some problems and I saved my clivias, but this year they've been overactive and I've got them even to my lemon clivias. I've sprayed them, I've cut them back, and I just wondered whether I should cut them right back.
Oh, look.
Because they lay eggs, Judy, don't they?
Oh, they do. They lay the eggs and hundreds of the damn things. But, look, I haven't sighted any on mine yet, so have you seen the grubs already, Marge?
Oh, yes, I've seen them. They're ugly things.
Oh, okay. So have you tried spraying them with the pyrethrum?
No, I used the Conguard, Judy. Is that the same, similar?
Pyrethrum, no, pyrethrum is just a natural product. It's made from daisies or pyrethrum plants. So see if you can get that. Just get a Yates one. It's an instant spray bottle. But if you've got the grubs on leaves, I'd certainly cut those off and put them in the bin or destroy them.
Yeah.
Don't leave the grubs on the leaves if you're not beating them.
No, I smash them up.
Good girl, good girl.
Okay. So we don't want to get on the wrong side of Marge, do we?
No.
No, well, the leaves, you know, they're into the leaves as well, so I'll cut them back, but I just wonder whether I should cut them right back.
Well, you could, but it's a shame to do that now because you should be sprouting flowers ready for spring.
It's very disappointing because I had the lemon ones and I got into the lemon ones which weren't even right near them. I was a bit further away and they still got into there as well.
Look, I know
my neighbour has clivias. My neighbour has clivias and she hasn't had the problem this year.
Well, don't let them go over to her, whatever you do. Don't be mean.
No, what?
Now, look, please just go down to even the supermarket. I'm sure you'll get the Yates pyrethrum easy to spray.
Okay, I'll do that.
That will do the job for you. Pretty quick smart. But I was going spraying every day, Marge, so don't worry about doing that because the pyrethrum is very safe to use.
All right, best of luck with everything there, Marge. We're heading to Madawi. Good afternoon, Kathy. Looks like you're growing the absolute best tasting fruit of all. You got the passion fruit. Have you got a problem there?
Yeah, I just don't have any.
That is a problem.
I bought it. About the worst you can get. I bought it last year and I put it in a planter box on legs and in a nice area with trellis behind it. And it grew like mad leaf-wise, vine-wise. But I've never had a flower on it and I've never had even the sign of a fruit. Can I cut it back to about a metre and then plant it in the garden outside? this time, or do I wait?
Kathy, tell me, why are you considering doing that? Do you think it's not going to flower?
Yeah, I don't think it's doing. I don't think it's happy where it is, to be honest.
Is it in the sun?
It's in a good potting mix. I think it probably would do better in proper garden soil. What do you think?
Oh no, the potting mix should be fine because you know when you buy the passion fruits, they're in potting mix. You know when they're propagated. But tell me, is that in the sun where you're growing it?
Yeah, well, it doesn't get quite the morning sun, but it's there from about, swings around about 11 o'clock and then it's got the sun.
Well, that's good sun. Now, also, quickly, just tell me, was it a grafted passion you bought?
No, I don't think so. No, it was not.
Right, okay, well, that solves our mystery. Yeah. If they're not grafted, they don't flower in the first year generally.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So don't disturb them. I'd leave them there and just keep giving them a little bit of fertiliser every now and then.
Yeah, can I prune it back a little bit or not?
Well, if you want to, but, you know, I mean, the flowering probably will happen as you know, as it gets older too.
Oh, all right. Okay, then.
You want to put, no, you haven't bought a dud and you want to plant it in the garden. So you could do that if you wish to, but I'm inclined to say leave it where it is and let's see what happens.
Good, thanks, Judy.
Okay, Kathy, good luck. Give us a ring and let us know how it goes.
I will do that. I will let you know too.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, see ya.
All right, best of luck with everything there, Kathy. Judy, we're almost out of time today. But look, we've got time for one of your topics. So you've thrown a few out there. What is the one topic left on your list that you'd love to cover?
Okay, look, I'd like to talk about...
And you've got 1 minute to do it.
Okay, rightio, I'll be very, very quick. I'm going to talk about fruit trees because it's time to plant out deciduous fruit trees and check in case they need a cross-pollinator, Mark.
Absolutely.
You know what that is, of course, don't you? And something like peaches and plums, they definitely need a mate. So if you're going to buy a peach or a plum, make sure you buy the cross-pollinator.
All right, that's a nice tip for us.
Yeah, and you understand exactly what I'm talking about there.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want a self-pollinating fruit tree... Why wouldn't you grow figs?
Exactly. That's a good idea.
They don't need self-pollinators and they're so expensive. And what about mulberries? Have you ever had a mulberry tree, Mark?
Yeah. Growing up, there was one in the backyard, yes.
Fabulous.
Massive, absolutely. Well, very messy, but...
Yeah. Well, why buy one where you need another one? Why not buy figs or a mulberry?
Good stuff.
You like that idea?
I do love it. And that is where we have to put a full stop on today, Judy.
Oh, what a shame.
Thank you so much. Another Gardening Talk back next week.
It's been fun today, Mark. Very good fun.
It has. Gardening Talk back with Judy Sharp back next Monday from midday on 2NURFM.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.